This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Peterlin with you. We'll talk all the latest college shenanigans with our good buddy Pete Futak. We've got the semifinal game tonight in college football playoffs tonight and tomorrow. Although tomorrow really kind of just feels like the whole enchilada, because I think whoever's going to win, that's going to win. But we shall see. With tonight, we've got Ole Miss in Miami. And however, today, the show started with news out of Miami that not the Hurricanes, but the Miami Dolphins, as they have fired Mike McDaniel. And we end up getting sidetracked because it's Jim Schwartz Day and Tommy Rees Day for the Browns. I think it would be really interesting to see what the reaction would be, though, if Mike McDaniel were to be the Browns head coach. Because I think a fair amount of people would be where Daryl Ryder was today, where I saw him on Twitter, where he was like, absolutely not.
Yeah, Daryl gave it a hard pass. I feel like we need to work harder on this. I just saw that McDaniel, by the way, the Lions are requesting, or they're going to try to get him into the interview to be the OC there. And it's like, I don't know, maybe he takes like a gap year and tries to reset himself for next offseason. Because yeah, I think everything with him is going to age very, very well. The idea that you got Tua to the playoffs twice, like you had, just a bad situation, bad GM, bad everything, and he was still able to have at least winning seasons. Like it was not a bad job by Mike McDaniel.
Yeah, Mike McDaniel as Lions OC, it would be fascinating, by the way, because I think that's another coach that'd be really good for Jared Goff. Mm-hmm. And I think this also,
and all those playmakers. I mean, they got everyone.
Let's just say that would be the team that he goes to as the OC. I think this goes back to a point I made earlier. Like, I think if you're going to get Mike McDaniel, it's as a head coach. So Browns fans dreaming of him as the offensive coordinator, I think there's one way he ends up here. And even then, I still think it's iffy.
Yeah, just not. Your read on that's 100% right. Like, he's not going to end up here as the OC. He's going to go to a place that has an established quarterback. So it'd be as the head coach. But I don't know why. Why does it feel like my rankings, and listen, I left Harbaugh out of this just for whatever reasons.
But if it's an obvious one.
But if it's McCarthy one, and then it's McDaniel, and then it's Sala, why are people acting as if that's like I can't believe he's got a former head coach who legitimately did just get fired, but who had Tua looking like he knew what he was doing. Tua led the league in completion percentage. Tua was actually competent. A guy I think is a backup quarterback at best, but like we're too good for that?
Yeah, I think too many people are. Well, okay, one, I understand he just got fired and he's coming off a losing season. And all year, all anyone would say, I like everyone, it's kind of like the Sirianni thing that we talked about with Philly.
Yeah,
everyone's already made their decision on Mike McDaniel that it was booty cheeks because of how we treated them in Miami. Was that week 7? Week 8?
And he, like Sirianni, doesn't really do a lot to help himself when it comes to how he's perceived in many ways.
Yeah.
Like he looks like
a goober.
He looks like Miami turned him into a coke dealer.
Yeah,
like he's got an insane style to himself. He wears all these different like jogger pants that like I wear, but not really head coaches wear. You know what I mean? Like he doesn't do much to convince people that he's a very serious human. And I think that when you're vaping on the sidelines of playoff games, I think people pay attention to those type of things.
I'm actually okay with that if you want to vape in Cleveland.
Too.
I don't care. Can you coach football?
That's the thing. I am too. I don't care about any of that other stuff. So, but I do think the perception for him out there, it's not football reasons is why people don't like him. I think that's the problem I'm having within the discussion. And I'm not even the biggest Mike McDaniel guy. But Nick, I just have a hard time right now because it feels like it's an instant no for everyone.
Yeah, I think because to me it's all about, okay, well, who are the other candidates? John Harbaugh is my number one. It's not even close. If John Harbaugh comes here, yes, please, thank you. Let's boogie down, right?
For sure, yeah, for sure.
And that's maybe I think I would take Harbaugh even if it meant losing Jim Schwartz. I do not want to lose Jim Schwartz under any circumstance. But for John Harbaugh, I'd very seriously consider it if Jim Schwartz says he just doesn't want to coach with John. The McDaniel thing is then everybody else comes in after that, and it's a distant second after that. McDaniel definitely has to be top 5. because you cannot deny that he is, one, he actually is a legitimate offensive genius. That's like, he doesn't have the respect as a head coach that Stefanski has, which is wild because I think they're very similar in that regard of maybe being too lenient of culture. But he is what people think about Stefanski. He has consistently had top 15 offenses, no matter in like EPA, in win rate, like no matter how good Tua was.
Yeah.
And here's the other one. Elite run game. Elite in the run game, incredibly creative with some of the schemes. So they, to use a Stefanskiism, they're really good at marrying the run to pass.
Well, and not even just the idea that he's had good offenses, Nick. Like we kind of joked about previously in talking about Stefanski that one of the things about Stefanski is that he's only had one top 10 scoring offense, and that wood number was number 10, right?
Yeah.
Mike McDaniel has had legitimately, number two is as high as he's gotten. Number two scoring offense
and
in the NFL.
That's good, yes.
Yeah, that's good. I think that's good. Like he's shown the ability to have, didn't get to number one, but it's been number two. With Tua. That's what I'm saying. With Tua, he was able to have not only a team that led the entire NFL in passing yards, they also were top five in passing touchdowns. They were top one in rushing touchdowns that same year as well. They were top two in yards, top two in points. Like, everywhere you looked, he had a dominant offense. And it's like, he has the ability. You give him the horses, he can do it. With Stefanski, we never got to a spot where you gave him the horses, he could get to this level.
Yeah, and by the way, he couldn't make it work with Baker, Odell, and Jarvis, and Nick Chubb on offense. Neither of those offenses were top 10 offenses in the NFL. So Kevin Stefanski at points has had, and this is not to bash Kevin, it's to, and like this whole point, like, do I think Mike McDaniel is a great head coach? Well, I think right now the signs point to no. Do I know definitive, do I think he's a bad coach? Absolutely not. And unless Jim Harbaugh comes here, Mike McDaniel becomes a lot better. Like, I'd rather McDaniel than Saleh, because McDaniel actually won games in Miami.
Yeah.
He had two playoff seasons, and his floor was 7-10. Robert Saleh, I don't believe, cracked better than 7-10 in a season.
Yeah, no, it's night and day. Like, everything that people love about Stefanski, it's almost like Mike McDaniel did it in a spot that is, I mean, you can make an argument just as hard to win as what Cleveland is. Miami has been 25 years since they've won a playoff game, and he did it at a better rate. And so, like, I get it. I understand the hesitation. I hate, just the same way that I hate that I'm, like, almost going for McCarthy and putting him in the list, I hate how hard in the paint I'm sounding like I'm going for McDaniel, but I don't understand why people are just a hard stop and a no on this one, especially when your other options are guys like Dan Pitcher.
Yeah, or well, okay.
Or Todd Monken.
Yeah, or Matt Nagy. Like,
yeah.
Jinx. But I do, well, that would be bad because I don't want you to not talk the rest of the segment.
That actually would be funny. I'm like, I don't know what to do. Yeah. I just stand there in complete silence.
Mime at me like Shador. I think McDaniel would be one of the better hires you could make. Now, here's my condition. He needs to keep Jim Schwartz. Because one of the things that McDaniel never really got for various reasons in Miami was an elite defense. And if you give, honestly, you could go Guardians and just not add a lot on offense other than fix the offensive line this offseason. And I think the offense, just by virtue of McDaniel being here, will be better. And as long as you have Schwartz, I think that could be a really, really nice team next year.
And if you're McDaniel, you'd sign up for that, I would think. But you're right in the idea that this isn't, you give McDaniel the keys to the kingdom.
Yeah.
It's not one of these situations where you just bow down and say, whatever you want, Mike, come on over. We're just happy to have you. No, this is very similar to like if you hire Dan Pitcher, where it's like, all right, so you're going to keep Schwartz. You're going to be cool with that. And then also, when it comes to player personnel decisions and stuff, you get input, but like I get the final call if I'm Andrew Berry.
Now, the interesting thing about McDaniel is he is an extreme version of the Shanahan coaching tree, where they will put a lot of money, and I mean a butt ton of money, into the skill playing position, specifically wide receiver and tight end, almost at the expense of offensive line. Like, if you look at the offensive lines they built in Miami, there is a lot of development there. Frank Smith is his offensive coordinator and O-line coach. They've developed a lot of guys. The free agents that they've signed, they haven't had their Trent Williams. They haven't had their that version of player that is a dominant kind of player. I think that would be the one thing. And if we remember, in Denver, That was we're going to draft guys like Chris Myers and Chris Cooper and a lot of Chris's, Ryan Williams, guys who were good prospects but not elite offensive linemen. So that would be an interesting kind of trade-off there.
Yeah, and it's one I would make. I just find it fascinating. It feels like I'm glad you're at least top five on your board with them.
Yeah.
I don't get the perception from Browns fans that everyone's like head over heels with this, but I'm telling you, based off of the names we've seen, based off of the people we've talked about, like this is almost as good as it gets.
Yeah, and here's the thing. Maybe as you're thinking about this,
yeah,
Mike McDaniel versus Odd and Dirty.
Right? Yeah, just sound it out.
Mike McDaniel versus Dan Pitcher. And I'm not here to say those guys can't coach. And listen, I'm not here to say those guys shouldn't be the head coach.
Maybe we turn around 3 years from now and one of them is like a Dan Campbell. It's like, yeah. whoa, that came out of nowhere. Okay.
So like, I just continue to look at this as, okay, I think I know what Mike McDaniel would give you, and sometimes, like, that's okay. Sometimes it's okay to go with the known quantity if the quantity, you get some pretty interesting stuff there if, and I'm going to say this again, if you can keep Jim Schwartz.
And we just got a new guest for the Bluntcast.
Jim Schwartz?
No, vaping on the sidelines, Mike McDaniel.
Oh, yeah, he's not vaping weed. He's normal smoke.
Well, I just assume, I mean, afterwards, that vape doesn't get all. Is it California sober, though?
That's a great point. My boy Hacksaw is California sober. He just walked by him. He's like, there's not a thought in his head right now.
He coached in San Francisco. That's a real vibe for them.
Hey, can we, I don't think it's legal in Florida right now. Tell Mike, it's legal here, buddy boy. Come on now.
That'd be really funny if that was a selling point for a coach out there. He's like, look at the states where it's legal, where it's not.
He's like looking up gummies. Like, what gummies can I get in Ohio?
Wait a second. Ohio, you can... That's legal? Casinos exist and are legal? Everything's good there, too? They have strip clubs? Why is Ohio basically Las Vegas?
Hon, they've got Maui Wowie. 216-474. That's a strand, guys. 216-474.
Thank you for the clarification. I really needed it,
though. From about 20 years ago.
Because I didn't know.
I don't think it's a thing anymore.
It's an outdated strand?
Well, yeah. So I have a cousin who works at the shop, and some of the names are like, why would you do that? What's that name about there?
Oh, that's a miscalling of yours in life, by the way, is naming the new strands of weed.
It's basically, transferable.
They're always fun names, are they not?
It's basically taking my love of naming people that work here, nicknaming people that work here part-time, but just putting it to weed.
But then you make it the most ridiculous things imaginable. Yeah. I think you were almost born for it.
Yes, I was. Remember that, weed companies. 216-474-0092. What would your reaction be if Mike McDaniel was hired by the Browns as head coach? Pete Futek walks us through different kinds of bowls in 2 minutes on 92.3 The Fan. 87.1 The Fan in Columbus coming up at 5:40. We'll talk Ohio State failure, the future of Matt Patricia down yonder. We'll also get his take on Mendoza versus Moore from the NFL perspective. But we got the Fiesta Bowl tonight, Ole Miss v. Miami. Carson Beck, will he put himself back in the conversation for a first-round pick? Hopefully so for my quarterback, Deadpool. But to talk about tomorrow's Peach Bowl, we bring on a peach of a human being of college football news, Pete Futek, joining us right now. What's up, buddy?
Oh, just after an intro like that, I don't know how I can follow. So how do you win your Deadpool again? Like, they just have to, like, go in the first round next
Pete,
year?
No, Pete, this is the problem with the Deadpool the entire time, is that we never laid out the rules of the Deadpool
yet.
what the points-based reward system actually is. I've had a problem with it with the commissioner for a while, but we all got lazy.
Basically, if you have to ask, then your guy's dead. You know when you see it. You know it's going to be Dante Moore. You know it's going to be Fernando. And you know it's going to be, I don't know.
Ty Simpson, really, maybe?
I guess Ty Simpson.
Do you not like Ty Simpson, by the way? A lot of Browns fans are thinking we're like now in the mix for a quarterback again.
Why? I mean, like, he was fine, but like, I don't know. If you're not throwing for 5,000 yards in the Kalen DeBoer offense, there's something missing there. I never really saw it. I guess he's got the moxie and he's got the arm strength and stuff, but you know, Michael Penix Jr., you know, went off in that offense. Jake Haener went crazy at Fresno State. And this guy at Alabama was okay, but I don't know. I guess he's just a guy. I don't really kind of see it as much as you can kind of see with, you know, certainly Mendoza or Moore.
I actually think both Moore and Simpson should go back because I'm a big believer in the you need 25 or more starts to give yourself a chance, not just to be drafted early, but that's kind of going to happen one way or another, but to make sure you get that second contract or your best chance at it.
Well, now, look, here's we're in kind of a funky spot with this. I kind of am a pure believer now. Unlike last year, where you had some real guys changing back and forth, this transfer portal sucks. Like, either if you're that good, you're going to the NFL. And or if you're that good at a big program, they're going to pay to keep you. And if you're – I get, like, the Drew Mestemaker is going from, North Texas to an Oklahoma State. That's another sort of thing. But there isn't really the wow factor. There are a couple guys here and there that I really like. But not like last year, like, ooh, wow, that guy's going to be a game changer. So, and then the other part of this, too, is, the like places like Notre Dame, they're freaking out. Oh, no, they don't have any transfers yet. Well, that's kind of because the guys they have in place are better. I mean, remember last year the party line was, well, like they could have had, Nico. They could have had, name your transfer portal quarterback last year, and it's going to be on C.J. Carr. And it, well, right now they wouldn't trade C.J. Carr for anybody. So some of these big-time places, like in Ohio State too, they're talented enough. We don't need a lot of, maybe one or two guys here or there, but there isn't a Caleb Downs in there. There isn't a real superstar game changer this year.
Pete, you didn't take the bait. Yesterday I said Dante Moore should go back to school, and Ross Tucker called me an idiot. and he might be right. You never know. We'll see how it ages.
You guys can – everyone can be right in this. I mean, like, yeah, we could all be idiots here, but if he's going to be the number one pick in the draft, which I think he's going to – when the workouts come, everyone's going to love Fernando, and then the workouts are going to happen, and they're going to go, oh, wait, this guy. And it'll be Dante Moore, I think. But if it's not one or two, if you're going to be the first or second pick in the draft, you go to the I go with the Bill Parcells line. If you want to play, if you want to be in the NFL, go to the NFL. Go play in the league. You want to be in the league, go play in the league. Quit with this college stuff. So I think, yes, you even let the NFL pay you to develop for the Raiders or the Jets or wherever he's going to go.
All right, Pete, what do you make of the Ohio State, I don't even want to call it a collapse, but we might as well call it that.
I mean, the D did its job, but look.
Easy.
Kid kicks field goal. We did this a couple years ago where kid kicks field goal straight, they beat Georgia, and they go on to win the national championship. Kid kicks two field goals straight, they're Big Ten champions, they win this, and they're probably moving on still. And look, the defense did its job. Okay, they didn't come up with the one final stop they had to have against Indiana. No, they didn't come up with the one final stop. I mean, Miami had the ball with 5 minutes to go, and they powered their way to the national. They will be play for the national championship. They powered their way to the semifinals. So the problem though was there's always an issue whenever a head coach says I'm calling the plays now, whether it's Dan Campbell, whether it's Ryan Day, even if you're a genius at this. It's like you don't want to be your own lawyer. You don't want to be your own offensive coordinator. You don't want to be your own play caller. And the whole idea of all year long, we were just waiting for Ohio State to put its foot on the gas already. Like, you can do this, but they kept relying on the defense, rightly so, because it was historically great. And they just kept waiting for them to be like, okay, you got this defense. It's going to bail you out of jams. Go. Let's get this thing moving.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Moving, and they didn't do it until the second half of that game against Miami, and by then it was too late.
Pete, do you think Lane Kiffin is a Hurricanes fan tonight?
He's got to be sick of this. I mean, I think the worst part about this whole Lane Kiffin thing is he's going to be awesome. He's really good. And it might be Saban to Alabama-esque with what he's about to do with LSU because they've got the money. The thing about Lane Kiffin is he's never really been able to just stress test a real program with everything in place. Because when he was at Tennessee, he was only there for a year. When he was at USC, they got hit with the Reggie Bush you know, they went 12-0 and then got hit with the Reggie Bush coma penalty where they couldn't recruit anybody again. So in Ole Miss, that's not a traditional powerhouse with all the trimmings and all the stuff. Now we get to see he is bound by nothing. They can go buy anybody they want. They've got all the facilities. They had everything in place. And look, that guy got Ole Miss to the best era in the 100-plus years of Ole Miss football history. He's really good, and fast as it's over. And I'll be shocked. I mean, I'll be stunned if this is not Miami tonight. This, I've not been a believer in the SEC this year. Everyone loves the SEC when they play against other SEC teams, but I think everyone's overloving the Indiana win over Alabama. I think everyone's making too much out of Georgia losing to Ole Miss. And I kind of think, but the couple fun parts to this, this is the fifth trip to the Fiesta Bowl for Miami. They're 0-4. And like in historic fashion, 0-4, like the Penn State lost where Vinny threw 90 interceptions and the Ohio State lost for the national championship and, you know, getting 29-0'd by Arizona. I mean, they're historically bad for whatever reason that matters. And the other key number here is 24. Because Ole Miss has not scored fewer than 24 points this year. Miami is 1-2 when giving up 24 or more and undefeated when they give up fewer. So who wins this, the Miami defense or the Ole Miss offense?
So who do you think wins that?
Miami. I think welcome to – you want to talk about NFL draft? I mean, that Ohio State-Miami game, yeah, so maybe there's a Mendoza here and, you know, other parts there. And I know you've got other guys who aren't, you know, Jeremiah Smith, who isn't eligible yet. But you could take, if you said, we can just take the top 10 guys off the field, and there's your top 10 in the NFL draft, you're probably not terribly far off. I mean, Ohio State obviously had a ton of NFL talent on the field. Those Miami guys are for real. I mean, those pass rushers are just a killer. Their offensive line has found it. And the weird part about Miami is they didn't do this all year. They didn't run very well in the ACC. All of a sudden, though, it's like they kicked it up a notch. Now we're going to try. And look, you mentioned, you know, Carson Becky back in the first round. He's been brilliant over the last six games. He's hitting like 78% of his passes. He's only throwing for like 140 yards a game over the two college football playoff games. But he's moving the thing along. He's getting everything going. And this formula is working. And I think it's going to happen again. And Trinidad Chambliss, meet Reuben Bain. These Velociraptors on the outside, I think they're going to have a day against this Ole Miss offense.
Well, the good news is you're going to see a lot of Michael Irvin. Cocaine's going to be well represented. Ray Lewis, who allegedly killed a guy once. It's going to be I'm really excited to see Miami alums make it about them instead of the young team on the field today.
And you know what's hilarious about all this? I was just talking to a friend of mine who's a big Notre Dame guy. The punchline, the Catholics versus convicts thing, is like the Miami guys were actually the good guys. Like for the most part, you know, they graduate everybody. They're generally really, really good guys. And Michael Irvin's a good guy. He's just very boisterous and makes it about himself. So that's kind of Miami.
Was the good
guy? I'm confused. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what's happening.
Do we not remember the prostitution boat there, Pete?
Hey, you know what? Hey, if you're not, you know, that's just college life.
Yeah, that's legal. It's legal in all sorts of states right now.
I forgot that time Charlie Weiss and Brady Quinn did Bam Bam on a boat in Lake Minnetonka.
What murder?
Did they sell their bowl memorabilia for tattoos? No.
That was a big time crime.
Exactly. They weren't really criming like that.
It wasn't a heavy enough crime for them.
No, but for the most part. But yeah, so it's, look, Cristobal's a good dude. I mean, it's a good program. And actually the crazy part, if Miami wins this, just in terms of, you know, first off, Ole Miss wins, then the Ole Miss fan base is going to go crazy and they're going to do everything. Miami wins this, the national championship's in Miami, this is going to be a blast. As is, right now, tickets for this national championship to get in the building is at least $6,000, and to get in the middle, it's like $10,000. I mean, the tickets for this thing, sight unseen, have already gone off the charts. Because Indiana fans are going to buy up everything. Ole Miss fans are going to buy up everything. And Miami fans, the 150 that are in Miami, because bandwagon fans, are going to buy up everything. So at the very least, we should get a pretty hyped up national championship.
Do you like this, that this is how we got here? We're now within the playoff setup. We have This is a hodgepodge of four teams, and it is not your... I mean, yes, there are some names in here, obviously. Miami's a name. Oregon has been working on being a name, but it's not your typical, hey, there's Alabama, there's Georgia, there's Ohio State.
Yeah, and look, the crazy part about this is if Ole Miss loses tonight, that's three straight years of no SEC team in a national championship. There was a run. Before this run, there was like 17 of 18. The one outlier was the Ohio State CFP championship over Oregon. But 17 and 18 where you had an SEC team in the national championship, and after this bowl season, man, is the SEC apology, you know, excuses tour on full bore right now. Like, oh, well, we didn't care about these games. They didn't mean, like, it just means more conference. You're telling me you didn't try in these games? And, oh, we had opt-outs. And, you know, everyone had opt-outs. Like, they're just, the SEC just wasn't that great. That gauntlet that Alabama faced, everyone lost. Tennessee, Vanderbilt, Missouri, lost. All of these great teams on these schedules kept losing bowl games. And if Ole Miss loses tonight, yeah, it would be super fun if, you know, if it's Miami and Indiana. It would just be crazy. And look, this is not going to get better. You know, this is the Ohio State thing. You know, you're not scared about Kyle Whittingham going to Michigan. What you're scared about is Mark Cuban is now going to start spending money more and more on Indiana. So this Indiana thing's not going away anytime soon.
All right, Pete, let's just be honest with ourselves here. I'm going to throw out a take. We're going to see how you react to it. Is the Peach Bowl basically the de facto national title game?
Miami could win. Look, Miami
beat Ohio
State.
You don't sound that convinced of that, though.
Here's my first thought. You're assuming, who are you assuming is winning here?
Oh, between Indiana and Oregon?
Yeah.
It's a toss-up. I think that's a great game. But I think it'll be Indiana, but I think it's going to be close.
Obviously, I'm not shocked either way. I think people are over-loving this. They're like, oh, wow, look what they did at Alabama. Alabama wasn't that great. I think we've kind of been, you know, missing. Like, we kind of knew, you know, remember forgetting how the sausage was being made, that Michigan was the team a couple years ago. You know, last year I told you guys all year Ohio State's going to win the national championship. We might be missing that this time around it's Oregon. Because, you know, kind of a creepy way that the same time, like last year, the Ohio State loss at Oregon was like the day before, like it's October 11th. I think October 12th was when Oregon lost to Indiana. You know, so like the rematch factor should not be a problem. This is a different team now. And you asked before about Ohio State, and to get kind of schmaltzy here, that last year's team was like desperate to win the national championship. They were psychotic to win the national championship. They were just on a mission. This year's team just didn't have that kind of mojo. This Oregon team is playing like it. They are so fast, and I think the thing that gets getting lost, that Texas Tech team was really good. And I think the narrative became, well, Texas Tech wasn't ready for primetime. Yeah, it was. Oregon just might be that good. And I think my call right now is I think Oregon wins the national championship, but I would not be shocked if Miami wins. Assuming they win tonight, the one thing that would shock me is Ole Miss wins a national title. I think Miami wins tonight, and I think we get a whale of a national championship game.
All right, we were going to go here, but we can't have you on, Pete, and not ask you about the Damon Williams stuff at Washington. He goes into the portal. They say they've got a contract with him. How do you think this plays out?
Not well. Look, I'm a player's rights guy. The crazy part that gets completely lost, these are supposed to be college students. Yes, you should be able to transfer no matter what. Doesn't mean you should be able to play football. Like, yeah, if you want to go to another school because they have a better history department or something, yeah, college students do that all the time. But now if you're signing contracts, you're a professional. You know, you are a professional football player, and contracts mean stuff. And so if you're Washington, you could be like, yeah, you can go transfer, can't play football for them, and you're certainly not getting paid anything from us. You know, so – yeah, you breach a contract, absolutely, because welcome to the real world. Now these guys have agents. Now these guys have people. And so, the flip side, I'm kind of the Steve Spurrier way of, hey, you don't want to play for me. You know, we don't want, you know, go on, good luck. If you're Washington, you can't just keep him around and say, hey, be our quarterback. You really want that guy being your quarterback now if he's that mad? Not really.
Pete, great stuff, buddy. Appreciate you. We'll talk with you next week as we get ready for the national championship. You the man.
There you go.
Pete Futek there. That was very close,
very
to a
close
later,
to later
dudes.
Dudes. Yeah. Yeah.
Was that an inside Ross Tucker thing? Is he pwning me?
I don't think
so. Am I
so.
Being pwned, Pete? You better not pwn me. I don't want to be pwned. I mean, when I get pwned.
I haven't heard anyone say pwned in like a very
neither
long time.
Have I.
It's been a while.
It's the dumbest word, but I do love
yeah,
it.
Yeah, it's fun.
I do love it. The kids might use it. I don't know. Who cares? Pete Futek on the Make It Right, Call Kyle Wright hotline. We'll react to what he had to say. Getting us ready for the Peach Bowl and the Fiesta Bowl and Lane Kiffin's nightmare. All of them in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan. Bobby Carpenter coming up in about 1 hour's time. Former Ohio State linebacker, former NFL linebacker, and with The Fan in Columbus. Bobby joining us again at 5:40 today. We will talk, of course, the disappointment of Ohio State this year. Matt Patricia could be going back to the NFL. That was a big thing Bobby talked about earlier this week. We'll also get into the Peach Bowl, the Fiesta Bowl. This did just come out, though, for Ohio State. It's why I haven't heard from Pete Futek just yet.
Mm-hmm.
Arvel Reese has announced he declared for the 2026 NFL Draft. I think the heart of this year's defense, it's going to be really interesting to see how they fare, because Arvel Reese has the talent to be a top five pick. Caleb Downs, for some folks, is the best player in this draft. Sonny Styles is another guy getting a lot of first-round love. And yet, who are the players we know to fall in the draft every year? It's off-ball linebackers and safeties. Like, it's not that the positions aren't important. It's just, unless you're an edge receiver, edge rusher, pass rusher, quarterback, wide receiver, like, everybody else kind of just goes to the back of the bus.
That's just how it works. Well, it's about, you know, positional value more than it is anything else. And that's all right. That's not the end of the world.
Well, that's going to be interesting, because I think Reuben Bain is going to get drafted over Arvel Reese. I do, because I think Reuben Bain's awesome.
Well, he had himself a hell of a game against Ohio State.
Yeah, and this one's going to also be another really good one.
I would imagine so, yeah.
But like David Bailey, I think, is another guy who is dominant as he was for Texas Tech. I think that's another guy that might get drafted over Arvel Reese and Caleb Downs. Like, it wouldn't surprise me if neither Downs nor Reese was top five picks this year.
That's interesting. We've talked about them at length in this draft, and it's like they're definitely top 10 locks, it feels like, but you never know with this stuff. You never know.
Kyle Hamilton was a top 10 lock. He was a top five lock, and
you never know
14.
With this stuff.
That being said,
there's too many people like me that are like, take offense when you have offensive holes.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't want Caleb Downs at 6?
I don't. We've
not
been over
Arvel
this.
Reese?
I don't. We've
what,
been over
what
this.
What about David Moore?
It's wide receiver. It's offensive linemen.
What about Reuben Bain?
And I'm close-minded as close-minded gets when it comes to everything
else. You're
going to
look like such a clown.
I will not.
You're going to look like such a clown if they draft Reuben Bain at 6, and he's basically the new Myles Garrett.
I will not. I'll be happy. What do you mean? I'll be like, all right, fine. No, you know what? I will, though.
You
I will.
Do revisionist history?
No.
Every time he has a sack, you're like, would have been better if he caught a pass.
I would have been great if that was a wide receiver, as our offense puts up 0 points. It would have been great if we had a wide receiver in that spot.
You know, he's no joke. Thomas.
Could have really used an offensive lineman. As people redraft this last draft and all of a sudden find a way to give us McMillan over Graham and find out how that would have gone differently.
Can we just say this? I'm over redrafts.
Yeah, I'm not the biggest redraft guy either.
I just
think
it's the most pointless, futile thing. It has no bearing. I know it's content and you get clicks off of it. I think the NBA ruined this mostly, but I just think redrafting in general is just...
It's very constant in the NBA, because in the NBA you consistently go back and be like, well, these turned out to be the best players. Like, this is like the... We do this with like the Zion Ja draft all the time, and you go back and you just rank all these guys.
Really, nobody won that
and,
one.
And it's just, it's one of those deals, right?
But you're going to be fat, or you can get a guy that might, you know, get shot. Which one do you want?
The thing about this, though, is the idea that I saw so many people that very viral tweet about Mason Graham today, where it was some wide receiver had more sacks this season than Mason Graham did. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden that meant that Mason Graham had some sort of awful year. And then, of course, that dives into a whole convo about, well, if they could have taken McMillan, look how different this Browns team would have been. And it's like, guys, Mason Graham didn't have a bad year.
Pretty embarrassing that people think
he helped out Myles Garrett so much in accomplishing the single season sack record. Like, what are we doing here?
Listen, McMillan has actually been fantastic in Carolina, and he's gotten better.
And that's where we're all like, what would it look like if he had McMillan on this roster?
But Mason Graham is a really, really good football player.
But this is what we do to ourselves.
And by the way, and here's the thing, maybe people don't understand this. When it comes to young interior defensive line, it takes a minute for the sacks to catch up with the production. So I'm thinking of a guy like Fletcher Cox. I'm thinking about a guy like a Chris Jones. Like those guys, I think it was year four when those guys really popped off.
I know, but
Fletcher
people
Cox.
Want you to be Aaron Donald, who in year one had 10 and a half sacks.
I'm going to surprise everyone. Aaron Donald, a bit of a freak.
And
by the way, people
three defensive player of the year awards later, one of the best players of the previous 25 years.
Pick number 13.
Yeah, maybe not the best example to use off.
A guy who was not drafted in the top 10 despite being an absolute horse.
J.J. Watt wasn't drafted in the top 10 either. He was 11, I think.
Well, but at least with J.J., I mean, he's 6'6", he's 290 pounds. The question
was, Aaron Donald's 6 feet tall.
Yeah, like Aaron Donald's 6 feet, 275 pounds.
Yeah.
And that's why he wasn't a top 10 pick. It wasn't production or skill.
But he did hit the ground running right away, though.
He did. No, which is funny because then all the hosses, the 310-pound guys, take a year or two to get there. Mac?
Gerald McCoy had 3 sacks in his first season as well, and he was a top 3 pick.
I know you're a big Gerald McCoy guy right there. I'm just
Mac's
not...
book after that, by the way, was great.
But was, like, proud?
Very satisfied.
See?
That was good, Mac. I like that.
Speaking of Gerald McCoy, I watched the Carolina Panthers sign him and then immediately play him out of position for a year. And then they were like, it was like the What Murder guys. Like, yeah. What production? It's like,
can't believe it.
Guys, he's not a 5T.
We call that the old T.J. Watt. Where they stuck him up against the left tackle every week. And then it took him a whole year for T.J. Watt to speak up and be like, guys, I don't do this. That's not what I do. I don't. Can I go to the right? Can I go to the other side, please? I'd like to go up against the right tackle. That's where I'm good. And then they listened, and then there we are.
Real quick aside, we don't have time for the Pete thing. Lane Kiffin's choice tonight is either $1 million when Ole Miss wins because you get bonuses when Ole Miss wins, or you look like a real a-hole for leaving a team that's about to go to compete for the national championship.
So with him taking these assistants, he's got to be rooting for the loss, obviously, right? Like, he does not, you can't care about the money in this regard. It's like it's a sweetener attached to it all. But I was wondering if he could be enough of a villain for college football. He is prime time in every sense of the word, though.
Yeah. I mean, it's funny. People are like, oh, he hasn't changed. Nobody thought he changed. He's still Lane Kiffin.
He's box office.
Yes, he absolutely is.
Like, and he might get mentioned more than either coach tonight on that broadcast.
Okay, that would be interesting. Who gets mentioned more, Lane Kiffin or Michael Irvin's belt? It really bugs me, the Miami thing. All the fans, all the players on the sideline.
They not only are on the sideline, they basically run on the field on every play. And it's like, Michael Irvin, what are you doing?
Yeah, like, by the way, this would bug me if it's Ohio State.
I think it's comical, though, so I don't get bothered by it. I think it's funny.
But it's kind of in like a...
It's like playing a game of Where's Waldo, and it's like, oh, there's Michael Irvin.
You're Super Bowl champions. I believe each one of those guys are national champions. Like, your NFL Hall of Fame. This is those kids' moment. If Ohio State did this, I'd be pissed. If it was Eddie George, favorite player ever at Ohio State, if it was Eddie George, I'd be pissed. I'd be like, Eddie, don't you got to get some Falcons ready? Like, don't you have to, like, I don't mind that they're there. I don't mind they're on the sidelines. I get irritated that they act like it's their moment.
Well, we typically just don't see it the way that they're doing it right now.
Yeah,
you know, like, it's different. Now I want to know how much money Michael has put towards the efforts.
Well,
that's probably why he's able to do it
there.
No, like the NIL,
the money spent on his.
Well, that's high quality. That's high quality stuff. It can't be
cheap.
At
this point, I think he just gets like a bulk discount.
It's like a Sam's Club.
Yeah. You know, when he saw what happened in Venezuela, he was sweating. He's like, don't go to Colombia, guys.
He asked for like a punch hole card.
Come on, guys. Don't. Colombia's great this time of year. Don't do it. All right.
I hope Michael Irvin comes after you.
With the belt.
I hope he comes
Michael
after
Irvin
you.
Michael Irvin and Rob Long in the same damn day.
Is that the statue that gets put up of you?
I'll just... No. I'm not doing it. I'm not going to do
it. I got to show you a photo of Robin between the break.
The lead in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.